There this morning, in order to save a little bit of time, I'm not going to keep the verse up on the screen the whole time. But the month of December, what we've been doing is looking at Christmas from a couple of different angles, from the eyes of various people that are later in the story of Jesus's birth. So today we come to this man named Simeon. Simeon is not really going to be the one we're looking at. We're going to be looking at Jesus through the eyes of Simeon. It's my hope that this Advent season that you've been able to publicly and privately at least spend some time seeing and savoring Jesus over the holiday season and behold the wondrous mystery of the Incarnation. It is a wonderful time of the year. It's pretty much only at this time of the year that the world is thinking at least similar to the church, thinking about Jesus, even if it's about advertising or something like that. At least you can go into places all around the world and hear Christmas songs, even if people don't believe them. I mean, I've been in some really strange places around the world and heard the most glorious Christmas music, knowing that probably it wasn't on purpose, but at least God is getting the glory. And we are privileged at this time to be able to worship and celebrate Christmas here today, even as many in the world are trying to stop the celebration of Christmas. We need to be thankful and even need to be prepared for the time when maybe we told we can't celebrate Christmas either. Well, as we come to this time and the end of another year, we just want to pause a bit and remind ourselves a little bit about what is important in life. A good thing to do. As I read the news, you see the threat of nuclear war. The threat of nuclear war across the peninsula, Korean Peninsula. We may want to ask, is our country safe? And financial collapse of Bitcoin and the economy and all of our dreams along with it, is our money safe? Or terrorist attacks popping up in Australia, I think this past week, and various places, is our city safe? Violence, sexual harassment, assault in the news all the time. And is our family safe? Am I safe? Yet the biggest question that we all need to ask, especially this time of the year, we can think about it, but we really want to ask the question, am I eternally safe? Because none of those things matter, though they're very, very important. Am I eternally safe? And that depends on one person. It depends on Jesus Christ. It depends on what you will do with Him. Let's pray together quickly. Almighty God, we do pray now that You would open up Your Word to us, and looking in Your Word that we would see Jesus Christ and we would behold Him as beautiful and wonderful, that we would embrace Him this morning and not oppose Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to skip through the verses that I had. Just skip through them until you get to... Go back one. So let me set the scene for us a little bit. Mary and Joseph coming to Jerusalem at this time of the year. Why had they come to Jerusalem? Well, in some ways they had come to kill two birds with one stone, going to Jerusalem to fulfill two different things. They had come, number one, according to the law, Mary's purification from childbirth. Number one, Mary's purification from childbirth. And number two, to consecrate Jesus as a firstborn son. How many in here, anybody in here a firstborn son? Meaning you're the oldest child and you're a male. All right, Graham, got a couple in here? Okay, so firstborn son, it's not just a son, but it's firstborn son was to be consecrated to the Lord. So they're going to handle these both at the same time while they are in Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary, Jesus' parents, are really faithful, obedient people to the Old Testament law. They had come on the eighth day of Jesus' birth. He's 8 days old. They had gone to the temple to have him circumcised according to the law. And now they had come again because in Leviticus chapter 12, it says that a mother was considered unclean until 33 days after the baby had been circumcised. So, 8 days old, he's circumcised, and then 33 more days, then you are to come and consecrate your firstborn son. So we know how old Jesus is. We know Jesus is 41 days old. 8 plus 33, as far as I can remember, is 41. Is that right? 41 days old. For Mary's cleansing, according to Leviticus, she is to come and offer, number one, a lamb, a year old, for a burnt offering. If you look at Leviticus chapter 12. And then number two, she is to offer a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Those are not the same thing. Okay, so a sin offering was for a transferring of the sinner's guilt. So Mary transferring the sinner's guilt to the substitute, which is the turtle dove. Okay? So she's going to take her sins, put them on the turtle dove as an offering. And then the burnt offering was a transferring of the virtue or the goodness of the substitute, in this case is a lamb, to the sinner. Okay, so transferring one way and transferring the other way. So transferring sin one direction and transferring goodness and purity, the lamb a year old without blemish, another direction. Okay, so keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that. So according to the law, if you didn't have money for a lamb, then you could use two birds. And the scripture that was read says that there was two birds that they brought. So these weren't turkeys, by the way. We assume Joseph and Mary didn't have much money because you only brought two birds if you were poor. So they didn't bring a lamb. They brought two birds. Oh, but they did bring a lamb of a different kind. We know the wise men also came later. They had not come with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Been very easy to pawn that at the Jerusalem pawn shop and get some money for that to buy a lamb, which was not that expensive. We know the wise men came a little bit later. So, for Mary's purification, they brought two birds. One for a sin offering, one for a burnt offering. For Jesus' consecration as the firstborn son, Exodus chapter 13, he was to be offered to the Lord. So two of you guys raised your hands as the firstborn son. You would, according to the scripture in Exodus 13, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So that might make you feel a little bit pressure as a firstborn son. It says you're supposed to be holy to the Lord. And according to Numbers chapter 3, Joseph and Mary were to bring 5 shekels. They were to bring 5 coins, 5 shekels, to the temple for consecration of the firstborn. Now, originally in Exodus, they were supposed to bring a lamb for the consecration of the firstborn, but that had changed later on in the book of Numbers. So, that's the reason why they're coming. Coming for two reasons. Mary's purification with two birds, Jesus' consecration as the firstborn, with 5 shekels. And Luke doesn't tell us about the 5 shekels. And something happens when they get there. They're just doing their thing. They're minding their own business. And something happens. There's this man named Simeon shows up. We know nothing about Simeon in all of Scripture. He comes up, takes Jesus, takes their child in his arms, starts saying a bunch of stuff. Starts blessing God. And according to the words that are used, is maybe he was even singing his blessing. Simeon, all we know about him is he's a righteous man. Scripture says he is a devout man. That devout means that he was careful, very careful and cautious to do what is right. And he was a man, the Scripture told us, that he is filled with the Spirit. He's a Spirit-filled man. And it tells us that he's waiting on God's salvation, the consolation of Israel, which means he's waiting for God to send the Messiah. And God makes him a promise. This is amazing. He receives this promise in his life that he will not die until he had seen the Messiah face to face. But it's what he says about Jesus that's so important to us that we want to look at this morning. What is it that he says about Jesus? He declares some things about Jesus that make his parents marvel, the Scripture says. Well, what is it that makes his parents marvel? Remember, the wise men from Persia have not come yet. What does he say? Says, takes the baby up in his arms and he says, You're now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What he says here is that Jesus is for all peoples, not just Jews, including the Jewish people, but he says all peoples. So in your Bible, there should be an S on the end of the word people. It's not all people, but it's all peoples. It means all of the people groups of the world, every people group on the planet. He says he is a light for the Gentiles. Gentiles is another way to say that. Gentiles means ethne. It means ethnic groups. So, Jesus is for every tribe, every nation, every language. He's not just, as some people might say, oh, he was just for the West. He was a Westerner God. No, Jesus was not a Westerner God. I can't stand it when I read it in the papers and I see the Chinese government saying, that's a Western religion. Jesus wasn't from the West. He was Asian. And he's for every nation. He's for Han people. He's for the Uzbeks. He's for Japanese. He's for the Sindhi people. He's for Arabs. He's for the French. He's for the Tajik. He's for the Maasai. He's for Korean. He's for everybody. He's the Savior of all. There's not many gods for many different places. Salvation is found in all, for all nations in Jesus Christ. And he's the glory of Israel. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 42 says. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name, my glory. I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Or Isaiah 49. So Jewish people knew these verses. Isaiah 49. And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, notice this, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. It's too light a thing. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. It's too light for the Savior just to save the Jews. He is a light for all the nations. So this baby, 41-day-old baby, Simeon takes up in his arms because he is the answer to man's problem. He says he is salvation. Man needs saving. Saving from what? Our scripture passage tells us he is a light in darkness. He is the light for all nations, and he is a light that is needed because the nations dwell in darkness. Darkness of sin. Not seeing. The world is blind to the truth of God. People in the world are prisoners in a dungeon. The Bible says, enslaved to self and sin and unable to escape. And the world gives praise to idols. So all around the world, people are bowing down to little things of stone and wood and sticks and gold. Worshipping idols and not the living God. Man needs a Savior. Jesus is the one to save us, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Because we need a Savior. I said that Mary did bring a lamb. Mary and Joseph did bring a lamb that day. And that lamb was their son. Ironically, they were too poor to bring a lamb. But God had already provided the lamb. He was the substitute, as Benny prayed. Mary's bird sacrifices that she offered when Jesus was a baby are a picture. The true and real sin offering was a transferring of the sinner's guilt, which is mine and yours, to a substitute, which was Jesus Christ. And the true and real burnt offering was a transferring of the virtue and goodness of the substitute, which was Jesus, to the sinner, which is me and you. He took our sin on the cross and gave us His goodness and righteousness. And that is the salvation that is available to all peoples and all ethnic groups of the world. But that's not the only thing that Simeon said. He said something else. He said this very strange saying to them. He said to them, he blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." What is he saying? This baby will make you choose sides. This baby will make you decide for him or against him. You will either, like Simeon, embrace him, or you will be opposed to him. He said, some will fall and some will rise. Now there's a strange saying in there. A strange saying is, maybe in your Bible it's in parentheses or brackets. It says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Many people think that's referring to Mary, as if to say, Mary, it's going to hurt you real bad when Jesus dies. I actually don't think that's what it's saying. I agree with others that actually Luke here, who's writing to a man named Theophilus, is saying this, he's inserting this to Theophilus. He's writing the book of Luke, a gospel, to tell Theophilus who Jesus Christ is, and that he's inserting as the writer, saying, Theophilus, you too must choose what you will do with Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in the book of Matthew about himself. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. We sing peace on earth, goodwill to men, right? Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus said, I don't come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Some of you in this room know that. You know that. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus was born for this purpose, to die on a cross as an offering for sin. God the Father accepts his death as a sufficient substitute in the place of all of those who trust in him for salvation from whatever people group or ethnic group you come from. God the Father raised him from the dead on the third day, and he is alive, and that baby will come again, not to die, but to rule and to reign. The biggest question for us at Christmas time, if you don't know Jesus especially, is this: what will you do with Jesus Christ? Jesus makes you decide. It can't be Jesus and others, other gods. It's Jesus. You either embrace him or you oppose him. And if you're a believer like Simeon, what's the message to us today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Interesting enough that Mary and Joseph were righteous people. Simeon was a righteous man. He was a devout man, full of the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, which I'm not covering today, there was a lady named Anna, who was also a righteous lady. What's the answer for us as believers until this Jesus comes back? What are we to do? We are to do what Simeon did. We are to keep on embracing Jesus. To keep on embracing Jesus. Every day of our lives, wake up and pursue righteousness. Live as a devout person. Be full of the Holy Spirit. And continue to take Jesus up in your arms, if you will, and embrace him. Till the day that he embraces you in his kingdom. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, so many interesting little tidbits in this passage of Scripture. So many things we wonder about. I wonder why you made it 33 days. Jesus lived to be 33, so many things. But Lord, help us to see and to savor the truth of the gospel and the truth of salvation, the plain, old, old story. We continue to sing it and preach it and rehearse it over and over again. I pray that you would empower by your Holy Spirit each and every person in this room to embrace your Son, Jesus Christ, with all of our hearts. Whether it be for the first time or something that we have done for years and years. Grant, Lord, that we would have the affection for Christ. That we wouldn't just believe in Him, but in our hearts you would give us love and desire for Jesus. Even as we celebrate His birth, and through communion as we celebrate His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and His second coming. And it's in His name that we are even able to pray to You. Amen.